זאת הלכה משנה, כל קורבנות הציבור ועל יחיד טעוני נסחים. So getting back to the dinim of Nesachim, we've been talking about the content of the Nesachim. But actually, let's take a look at the parsha of the Nesachim. And in order to do this, I would like you to actually bring out your chumash so that we can take a look at the pasuk inside in Bamidbar. Remember, this is in Shlach, because the Nesachim, immediately after the Gezerah, the terrible Gezerah of the Golas in the Midbar, in order to show Yisrael that there was going to be a Bia L'Aretz with all kinds of dinim and the Beis HaMikdash. So in Shlach itself, there's a number of very important dinim that are introduced that are in terms of Ki Tavou El Eretz Moshevotechem. And one of these is the dinim of the Nesachim. So if you take a look in Shlach, in the middle of Revi, which is in the Goyesha chapters, chapter 15, we can read that together and examine some of the diyukim in that sugya. Vayedaber Adonai Moshe Limor, Dabero b'nei Yisrael v'yomarta lehem, ki tavou el eretz moshvotechem, asher ani notem lechem, ve'asitem ishe l'Adonai, ola o zevach, v'falei neder o v'mdava, o v'moadechem, Now, this is an extremely rich pasuk, because let's take a look again. There are three different variables in this pasuk, and all of these variables are going to be part of our discussion today. So, it says over here, first of all, what korbanos does this refer to? It refers to ola o zeva, whatever that is. How was the korban chayev lefalei neder o nidava o b'moadechem? So there's three possibilities of what the mokar of the chayev is. It could be your own neder, it could be your own nidava, and it could be any of the korbanos that are brought during the chagim, which we'll have to see how far that goes. Individual korbanos, public korbanos, to be determined. And that's the second variable. And the third variable is la'asod reach l'chorach la'ashem min ha'bakar o min ha'tzor. So what type of animal are we referring to over here? And now the next pasuk introduces yet another variable. V'hikriv ha'makriv korbano la'ashem. So the v'hikriv ha'makriv introduces the question of your intent of the korban. And as we'll see, that too is a variable. And we've got four different variables in the space of just a few words over here, which is going to account for a lot of the work that we do on the surface. So again, what type of korban? Is it an ola or some other zefach, which is not clear what that is? What is the source of the chiyuv of this korban? Is it a neder? Is it a nedava? Or is it a moadechem? Thirdly, what type of animal is it? Is it brokar or tzong? And fourth, what is the intent of the mihikriv hamakriv? But let's continue, because it's not all that simple. The rest, the following psukim, we're familiar with in terms of the amounts that they speak of, but they seem to introduce new issues. So the first, as we continue, mihikriv hamakriv korbanon la'ashem, mincha solet isaron, balul brevi tahim shamem. So now, this is talking about the smallest of all of the Nesachim, one Isaron, a Reviyah Sahin, Yayin Lenesach, also a Reviyah Sahin. What is that brought for? Well, that's brought for, again, the Ola Ozavach, which should not need it to have been repeated, Lakevesechot. So here we're talking about the type of korban, an Ola or a Zavach, which usually is a Shlamim, but we'll see what it means here. And what type of animal? A keves. Next pasuk introduces a different animal, an ayo. Remember that an ayo is in its second year, so it's a tzon, a male, and it's called a ram in English. And we're going to see that it's from the age of 13 months, so that it's not immediately after year one that it becomes an ayo. There's not an immediate transition between a keves and an ayo. There's a teenager, and the teenager is called a palgas. Now we're going to see what the din is of the palgas based on the yukim in this pasuk. What is the amount? Shnei esronim, lulav hashemen, eishli shitahin. So eishli shitahin, of course, being as the hin is the full 12 of the lugin, hechatziahin is the sixth, the shlishitahin is the four, as opposed to the reviyasahin, which is the three. That gave us, of course, the greater amount, surprisingly, of proportionate oil for the keves as opposed to the ayo. Because for the keves, we had a 3-to-1 proportion, and for the ayo, we have a 2-to-1 proportion. Now let's continue with the ben bakar. V'chitase ben bakar, so this is the largest carbon, and what is it being brought as? Either an oila, again, or a zevach. Why would it have to be told each time? We're going to have to figure out. And what is the purpose? Now here is a strange purpose. Instead of saying neder or nedava, it says the fale neder oshlamim. Well, that's weird. What's the oshlamim doing here? V'kriv al ben abakar, and why do we need to repeat ben abakar again? We just said, if you're bringing a ben abakar. Boy, this is confusing. And here we need shlosha esronim, belul b'shem el chatziahin, which is six, actually, to three. So six lugin to three esronim. And the same thing applies to the yayin. The yayin takriv l'nesach, also chatziahin, which is six lugin. Then the pasuk continues on to say, what doesn't seem to be necessary at all. Kacha ye'aseh la'shor ha'echad. That's what you'll do for one shor, or for one ayil, ayil echad, or for one seh, either a seh of the sheep or a seh of the goats. Kamispara asher ta'asu, according to the number of karbonos that you bring, kacha ta'asu le'echad kemisparam. So shall you do for each one of these different types. Now, every one of these words is loaded with information, and we're going to be darshaning all of this in the Gemara today. So let's take a look at the sum up of the Mishnah of the Chiyuvim in the Psukim. So first of all, the Mishnah insists that it makes no difference whether this is coming as a carbon yachid or a carbon tzibul. Even though it's said in the Pasuk, lefale neder, or nedava, that doesn't sound like it could be a carbon tzibul. Is there a carbon tzibul? Well, actually, there is, because we do have, of course, our kayats from Mizbeach, which essentially is just a gift, so it's just a kind of nedava. Let's see. So all types of korbanos, yachid, tzibur, they all require nesachim, except for a bechor, a meiser, a pesach, and a chatas, and an asham. That's a heck of an except. Okay. So the only thing that doesn't require it are these chovot. So these are all chovot, you know. That's probably not a coincidence. So bechor, meiser, pesach, chatas and asham, you cannot bring as an edava. And it did say, nefali neder on edava. So maybe that's the source of the idea that any of these cannot be chayav in a nesachim. But there is one exception to this rule, an exception that we already spoke about yesterday, and that is there is a particular type of chatas and a particular type of asham that does take nesachim, and we discussed it yesterday. That's a reference to the mitzora. Shachatato sha mitzora, va'ashamo sha mitzora. Both the chatas of a mitzora and his asham do require nesachim. Of course, you recall that yesterday we talked about, in the event that you brought an asham mitzora, whether it was brought shelo lishma, would you actually, as Rabbi Yochanan pointed out, would you actually need to bring nesachim even though it's not really working for that mitzora? So all of that we talked yesterday. Now let's go into the psukim again and take a look how we're medayik all of this from the psukim. So the pasuk begins with the asitem isher l'ashem, and that sounds like any type of korban. So yochol kol ha'ole le'ishim yeheta unesachim. It just had those opening words. It would have meant that anything at all that's going to be brought up on the mizbeach actually is going to require nesachim, and that would mean even a mincha would require nesachim. In other words, if you're bringing just the mincha, then it would have to bring along the wine and the other inyanim that are brought with any other carbon. Therefore, the next word is, no. We're talking about an ola. An ola. Would that also include a shlamim? Yes, because it says ola o zavach. That's the next word. And usually the zavach, which is a reference to zavach shlamim, so that would include the shlamim. How about a toda? Well, a toda is included in the shlamim because it says o zavach. And O is always an extension. So as far as why don't we just say a Toda is a type of Shlamim, that we're going to see later. But we do use the O to be Marba a Toda, and we'll question why we need the O. Yokoshani Marbeach Bechor, Maaser Pesach, Vechatas V'Hasham. So you might think that we should also include all types of Korbanos, because, I mean, the broadest sense of a Zevach, of course, is anything that requires Shechita. And maybe the O Zevach should be construed as a general ribui for any type of korban. That's why the pasuk continues on to speak about how the korban is brought. It has to be the type of korban that can be lefalei neder or vindava, which means only something that is ba'a neder v'nedava to'un nesachim. So if it's a type of korban that's not up to you to bring with a neder or a nedava, then it doesn't need nesachim. So she'eno uba b'neder b'nedava, ain't to unesachim, which means chatas. You can't bring a chatas with a neder and a nedava, or an asham, or a bechor. Anyway, so it excludes those kind of things. Mashma lotzi etelu. So that should include, as we said, all of the things that we mentioned, chatas and asham, and bechor and pesach and so on. Now, I would think also that it should exclude things like the korbanos that you bring when you come into the Beit HaMikdash on the Chag. So there you have a chiyuv to bring your special korbanos, which is the Chagiga. And of course, the Chagiga is a kind of shlamim, but it's brought as a chiyuv when you come in. And the Olas Re'iyah is also brought as a chiyuv when you come into the Beit HaMikdash the first time on the Yom Tov. So do I not bring Nesachim? You might think that those type of things, such as my meal, what do I mean, things that come because of the regal? My ninu, I mean, olot re'iya, shamei chagiga, those are korbanos that you got to bring. Talmud lomar, that's why we had that third category. It was either b'neder, l'fali neder, o b'nedava, o b'moadechem. Aha, that moadechem includes these additional chiyuvim of re'iya and chagiga. And that tells me, kol ha'bava mo'adechem, anything that you have to bring because of the mo'ed should require nesachim. But wait, if that's the case, it's mashma laviat elu, but maybe it would also be mashma to include the si'irei chatat, because every yantav, remember, with its musaf, also has chatas. Now, you've told me I have to bring the olais and the shlamim, but what about the chatas? It says b'moadechem. How do I know that that doesn't include the si'irei chata'ot, since they are also going chova beregel? Talmud lomar, that's why we have that strange pasuk that we were questioning when we read it. We couldn't understand. Why does it need to say v'chi ta'aseh ben bakar? I mean, Ben Bakar was listed before. Ben Bakar Bechlamaya, it said. Tzon Uvakar. Why are we saying Vechita said Ben Bakar again? So why did the Torah make this special pasuk to talk about the Ben HaBakar of all things, which was already included? Vechita, this was right at Chamishi. Vechita said Ben Bakar. Olao Zavach, Lefali Neder. Remember, that was the strange pasuk that said Lefali Neder, O Shlamim. So why did it talk about a Ben HaBakar? Only to tell me, Lakish Elev, to say, just like a Ben Bakar, is a very special case. In what sense? There is never a korban that is brought as a chiyav as a Ben Bakar. And therefore, what we must be talking about, it says over here, as b'neder b'nedava, as it says. The only chiyuv I'm talking about is if you make a ben bakar ola or zevach, and we were questioning why the heck does it say again lefale neder or shlamim. So the only thing that we're talking about is a ben bakar that is only ba as a neder or an adava. Therefore, we learn from here that even though we're talking about b'moadechem, we still need to know that what type of b'moadechem? Only things that are above a neder ben adava, once again, excluding the si'irei chata'ot, which cannot ever be brought ben neder ben adava. Wow. Okay, so things are getting clearer. Then the pasuk continues, la'asot re'ach li'choach la'ashem min ha'bakar o min hatzot. So that was the opening pasuk that we had. We're going back to the beginning now because we jumped ahead in order to make sure that we don't include the wrong things. So let's continue from that first pasuk. So somebody is bringing a korban la'asot re'ach li'choach la'ashem min ha'bakar o min hatzot. So what exactly is this min ha'bakar? I thought we've already gone through everything. Why do we need to say over here again this la'asot re'ach li'choach la'ashem? The fisha nemar ola. So remember, the pasuk began with ola o zavach. So I might think an ola, after all, means an ola of any kind, including an ola ta'ov. How do I know that I do not bring the sochin with ofot? That's why it says min ha'bakar o min hatzon, to tell me only mammals are included in this chiyuv. There are no chiyuvim for anything but mammals, even if it's a type of ola. So says Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonatan says, there is no need for me to repeat bakar and son to tell me and not birds, because it said a zevach. A zevach means something that you shech, to do an act of shechita on. Do you do an act of shechita on a bird in the base of Mikdash? Absolutely not. You'd use melika only. An oaf is not a zevach. So why do I need the pasuk to repeat bakar or tzon? I'll tell you why. Im kein mata medlomra min ha'bakar o min hatzon. That's because, remember at the very beginning of the parasha of Korbanos, right at the top of Vayikra, what does it say? Adam ki yakriv bikem korban la'ashem min ha'beima, min ha'bakar u min hatzon. So I would have thought that if, maybe the way to read the pasuk is, Adam ki yakriv bikem korban la'ashem, a person who wants to bring a korban on his own to make an adava has to bring it from both a bakar and so. You can't just choose one kind of mammal, and that's how I would read the pasuk. Min ha'bema, it has to be min ha'bakar u'min hatzon. So if that's the case, yochala omer harei alai ola is mechuyev to bring both kinds. Yavi mishneihem. He's got to bring both min ha'bakar u'min hatzon. That's why we need to repeat over here, min ha'bakar u'min hatzon. So we utilize this additional parsha of Nesachim to make it quite clear that it's up to you to bring either, because to use the word o, whereas over there in Vayikra, the beginning of Vayikra, it said min ha'bakar u'min hatzon. By making it clear that it's an option, it's an o min hatzon, we now understand that ratza echad mevi, ratza shnayim mevi, it's basically up to you. You can bring one animal, you can bring two animals, and that's not a chiyuv. But according to Rabbi Yonatan, I thought Rabbi Yonatan shita all over is that if the Torah, remember we had this sugya by how do we understand the pasuk of Ish Ish Asher Yikalel et Aviv et Imo. That was the basic machlokus between Rabbi Yonatan and Rabbi Yoshia as to whether you need to have a special riboy to tell me either or. So according to Rabbi Yoshia, if it says Aviv ve'et imo, the din is that it always means either or. So a Aviv and together ve'et imo, again, according to Rabbi Yoshia, is a mother or a father. And according to Rabbi Yonatan, it's a mother or a father, unless the Torah said beferish both, because that we know from Kilayim. If it doesn't say yachdav, then it doesn't mean together. So even though it says two things, since when the Torah means two things together, it has to say yachdav, then if it doesn't say yachdav, it means either or. So Rabbi Yonatan Shitato should say the same thing over here. I don't need a pasuk to tell me it's either or. All over the Torah means either or, even if it just said and. So why is Rabbi Yonatan violating his own idea? According to him, I do not need a pasuk to teach the either or, since the halacha is it means either or. So lama likra? Ha'omer achif rot b'cha katuv yachdav. So even according to Rabbi Yonatan, we need the pasuk to say it? Yes, says the Gemara, Itzer. We do need the pasuk to say it in this case. Why? Because Salka Daita Chamina, this is a special case, because Holo Vichtiv U Min Hatzon. So then, at the very beginning, when the Torah begins, Tabero B'nei Israel, V'yomar Taliyem, Adam Ki Akriv Mikem Korban LaHashem, Mina Beima, Mina Bakar U Min Hatzon, Takrivo Et Korban Chem. So therefore, where it writes U Min Hatzon, it's the same as if the Torah had specified Yachdav. Because basically, if you're talking about just what we mean, Min HaBeima, it should have just said, Min HaBeima, Min Bakar, Min Hatzon. Now, obviously, would have been meant exactly what it means. But if you introduce now new things, U Min HaBatzon, so then the mashmaut is there's some kind of new chiyav over here. I might have thought that that meant bring it together, bring the two of them together. Therefore, I still need over here to tell me the O. And according to Rabbi Yoshia, who says over there when it comes to the din of klola of aviva imo, v'imo, so he says, it's as if it says yachtav, and any time that it says and, it means and. So even though it doesn't say yachtav, it's as if it says yachtav. Why don't we need a pasuk to tell me liboikra? So then according to him, we should need a pasuk to tell me that only one thing is, here we said min habakar umin hatzon, is according to him, we said it is there to tell me not a bird. That's a contradiction to Rabbi Yoshia himself, because he can't use that for not a bird. He's the one who would need it more than even Rabbi Yonatan does to tell me that you could bring either or, because his shita is that it will always mean both and mean specifically both unless it specifies that it does not mean both by saying or. So how is he using that O, Zavach, to tell me not the bird? I don't get it. It's exactly the opposite. He's Bedafka, the one that should have needed the Pasuk, O Min Hatzon, to tell me that you don't need to bring two things in order to be Yotzei a Neder. Don't understand. Now, Lemaisa, it seems to be pretty straightforward as to where he would know it from, because he could learn it from the O that it says in the Parshas Nesachim, and we'll talk about that momentarily. So why doesn't it need a Pasuk? Says the Gemara, because in the beginning of Vayikra, it says, Im ola korbano min habakar, and then there's a separate parsha that says, Ve'im min hatzon korbano. So you can't get a more clear indication than that there are two separate parshas over here. If your korban comes from bakar, if your korban comes from tzon, so obviously it doesn't have to come from both. If I have two separate chiyuvim, so why do I need a pasuk to tell me the pasuk in Nesachim to tell me the din that I know already at the beginning of Vayikra? So why can't Rabbi Yonatan learn it from there? Why does he need to learn it dafka from the O in the Nesachim? It's true. Sa'akadaitra minahani milim mefarish. Maybe he would have said, look, I understand that you can make a specific neder the way you want to. That's not the point. If you said, I want to bring a tzon, fine. But what if you just said, I am neider an oila? You would have to bring both bakar and son. I still need to know that even if you just said it's stam, I will be stoma, I'm going to bring an oila. And I would have thought, based on the fact that it says both beima, bakar, vitson, I would have thought, laite mitarvayu, you have to bring both. That's why we need over here, all the way in Shalach, so many parshas later, to finally clarify that even if I didn't say I only want to bring one, I don't have a chiyuv to bring both bakar and tzon. I can bring either bakar or tzon. Kamash malan, and that solves that problem. So getting back to the Mishnayos that we had at the beginning of this parak. So over there we were talking about the difference between the Midas HaYavesh and the Midas HaLach, and we had a machlokas over there, remember, between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, about the Isorin. Was it Isoron, Isoron, one of which was Gadush, and one of which was not Gadush? And the one that was not Kadush was, we ended up understanding, was specially made in order for the Chavite Kohen Gadol, which needed to be split into two. We didn't want them to be Kadush because then they would spill. So we made them Machuk. But generally speaking, we would utilize the Gadush because it looks nicer. And that way we pour it the same amount because we simply make it smaller if it's going to be Kadush. They'll both hold the same amount. And what this Mishnah seems to say is ignores our whole discussion. It says, Kol midot sheba migdash hayu nidgashot. So all of the midas were gedushot, which doesn't make sense. Chutz mishal kohen gadol. The only difference is that the kohen gadol's, which was used for the chavitim, which was the half, seems to be talking about, was Godsha Letocha. So it was made, as we know from the Mishnah before, that even the Isorin was Mochuk. So except for the Kohen Gadols, and, okay, so we'll have to understand exactly how that fits with Rabbi Meir, because here it says they were all Gadush, and Rabbi Meir said there was only one of the two that was Gadush. And according to Chachamim, there weren't more than one anyway. So what exactly is it referring to? That the Gemara will explain. Now, there's also a very important difference, and that the Midot HaLach, those, the surface tension, was also considered to be Kodesh. So anything that went above the rim of the Kli was considered to be Kodesh. And there, even though it's not inside of the Kli, it still is considered to be Kodesh. Whereas the Midas HaYavesh, the Birutzeyem, were Chol. Anything that went over the edge of a Kli that was used for measuring dry measure was Chol. Rabbi Akiva Omer, I agree that the Midas HaLach is Kodesh, and therefore I agree with you. Defichach Birutzeyem Kodesh. However, I disagree with your point. The Birutzeyem are not the only thing that's Chol. The whole Midas HaYavesh is Chol. There is no Kedusha of the Shemen HaMishcha on the Midas HaYavesh at all. And therefore, obviously, Birutzeyem Chol, because the whole thing is Chol. So it's not what you're saying, that there's a difference between the Midas HaLach, which we were Mekadesh with the Shemen HaMishcha, even the outside of the Kli. And the outside of the Kli includes the rim. Masha Ein came when it came to the Midas HaLach, we were not Mekadesh the outside, the Midas HaYavesh, we were not Mekadesh the outside. I say, says Rabbi Akiva, we were not Mekadesh anything. So obviously, the Birutzim are not going to be Kadesh if there was never any Kedusha on them at all. And that's the reason that the Birutzim are Chol. So the Machlokas here between Rabbi Akiva and between the Tanakama is the question of whether there was a Kedusha of the Shemen HaMishcha on the Midas HaYavesh, and the agreement in total between them is Benogea, the Midas HaLach, and there's no difference in terms of the Birutzim that's practical, but there is a difference in terms of the overall halacha of the Midas HaYavesh, which according to Rabbi Akiva are not Mekadesh at all, since they are Chol. And Mamela, that's not what we need in order to bring Kedusha. The person is Mekadesh with Kedusha Saped, and then you put it into the Bisa in order to make it. The Bisa is Kedush, but not the Mida. So says Rabbi Akiva. Says Rabbi Yossi, no, no, this is not the issue at all. Neither of them are Kodesh on the outside. Even the Midas Allah are only Kodesh on the inside. So why does everybody say that when it comes to the Midas Allah, the Birutsim are Kodesh? That's because, in case you didn't notice, liquids are liquid. And therefore, if you're going to pour something into a kli, the liquid is constantly exchanging molecules between the parts that are in the kli and the parts that are outside the kli. That's part of being a liquid. In which case, all of it was Mekudesh inside. That's the point. It's not that you need the Kedusha on the outside from the rim, because since it's a liquid, all of it has been inside. It's going inside and outside, and therefore, it's Ne'ekar. That's the difference. So Allah moves all the time, and therefore it becomes Kodesh from the inside. And therefore, since the outside isn't Kodesh, it will not be Mikudash. All right, so now let's take a look at what the meaning of that opening statement. Who is the one that said that the Midot, all of the Midot of the Yavesh are Kodesh? Who said that? Is it Rabbi Meir? According to Rabbi Meir, it's not true. There was only one that was Kodesh and one that was not Kodesh. So what are you telling me, all of it was Kodesh? And if you hold it to Rabbanan, there was only one and it was Mochuk and it wasn't Kodesh. That's what we said before in the Mishnah. Om Rav Chist, of course, it could only work out like Rabbi Meir. When it says the word Kol HaMidot, it doesn't mean the Midot, where obviously one was not Kodesh. It means kol hamididot. In other words, everything that you're going to do with the Isaron is going to be done with the one that is Kodesh, except for one thing, like the Mishnah identified, the chavitim of the Kohen Gadol. So you shouldn't think that the two, the Isaron, that sometimes we use the Isaron for something that was a normal mincha. Never. The only use of that Isaron, which was the Mochuk one, that was only for the Kohen Gadol's Chavitim. That's all that the Mishnah is coming to tell me. But of course it was going, Ali Ben Rabbi Meir. Then you continue on to say that when it comes to a liquid measure, Midas Halach, so then the surface tension is considered to be Kodesh. So what exactly is the difference over here between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi? So the Tanakhama holds, the Midas Halach was Nimshecha inside and outside. Since it was Nimshecha outside, that means that the area which is outside of the Kli and is the rim of the Kli, which is where the surface tension will balance the overextension of the liquid outside the Kli, it's anyway on something that is Kodesh, because the outside was also Kodesh, and that means the rim is Kodesh. But the Midas HaYavesh only had the Shemen HaMishcha put on inside and not outside. So because of that, anything that's extending above the rim is not on the Kli at all. Where's Rabbi Akiva Savar? Midas Halach, I agree with you that the Midas Halach was Nimshecha indeed, Bein Mi Bifnim, Bein Mi Bachutz. But I hold that the Midat HaYavesh was Bechlal not Nimshecha. And therefore, I hold that you do not ever get anything but Kedushas Peh until you put it into the Bisa. That's all that it has. So Midas HaYavesh didn't have any Mashiach. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Savar, everything had Mashiach. But everything only had Mashiach inside, not outside. So Rabbi Yossi Savar, Ide, both the liquid and the dry, so whether it's Midas HaYavesh or Midas Halach, it was Nimshecha, but both of them were only Nimshecha Mibifnim. Neither of them were Nimshecha Mibachutz, but nonetheless, why does the Mishnah say that if it's liquid, then it's held by surface tension and it's Kodesh? It's not because of the surface tension. It's because the Lach is Ne'ekar. The liquid is constantly exchanging molecules, and therefore, all of it is Kodesh Bifnim, and it only, whatever is currently in the area that's held by surface tension came from inside. It was at one point inside Umigava de Manakaati. So because of that, it was Kurdish from before. Masha Inkain, dry, obviously doesn't exchange place. And the Yavesh Enonekar, and it's not pushed out from inside to the outside. So whatever was above the Kli was never in the Kli, period. It's very simple. And I don't understand. I hear what you're saying, Rabbi Yossi, but the point is that when the person puts what he needs inside of the Kli, why would it become Kodesh since he only needs the amount that he needs? So he had in mind only to have the full amount that the Kli has, which is the amount of the whatever he's using. So it was the lug that he's interested in, whether it's one lug, two lug, three lugs, but that's what he's interested in. So Gavala Maida Tzorah Kamakavin. I mean, if his kavana was only to be a Mekadesh, that which is inside, so then what's the difference? How can it become Kodesh? Omer Dimi Bashishna Mishmei Derav, this tells you something very clearly. Zot Omeret, Kli Sharet, Ar Mekachin Shalom Idat. We've talked about this before. Whether you intended it to be Kodesh or not, it's going to become Kodesh. And it doesn't require your Kavana. Memela, it's all a function of whether it was exchanged or whether it was on the brim and it was considered to be Mekodesh and so on and so forth. Ravina Amar, no, the truth is, it's really correct to say that Kli Sharet Ein Mekachin Ela Midat. And nonetheless, I can tell you that we're going to continue to give a din of Kedusha, even though he didn't want it to be Kodesh. How is that? Because it's a gezerah that we made. If we allow people to take the area that was over the brim of the Kli, then people will think that Zera Shema Yomru Motzim Mikli Sharis L'chol. They'll see you taking off of the Kli Sharis and taking it out to use for something that's chol, because it was never Mekudesh because you didn't have in mind to be Mekadesh yet. That we can't have that. We can't have people using Kli Sharis and there's no way for us to know what the guy is thinking, and then you're going to go out and take it and use it for something else, and people will say that there's no din of Kedusha of Kli Sharis. Get out of here. So because of that, anything that goes into Kli Sharis, pow, it remains Kodesh. It doesn't matter what you were thinking. Mostly, Rabbi Zera, how can you say that there's such a Zera? Take a look at the Mishnah we're going to have later on. It says over there, if you put the Lechem Haponim together with the bezichim on the shulchan sometime after Shabbos, anytime after Shabbos, so you didn't make it on time, what's the din? If you go ahead on the coming Shabbos, you go ahead and you bring the bezichim levena, then the lechem becomes posel because you didn't bring a levona that was there for 7 days. It has to be there for 7 days from one Shabbos to the next, and if not, it's mechuser zman. So what should you do? Leave it till the next Shabbos. Don't bring it this Shabbos. Bring it the next Shabbos. Ayotaina. If I bring it the next Shabbos, it would be possible. It won't. Because afilu alashuch yomim rabim. Even if you leave it for 10 days, 12 days, doesn't matter. Ein bekachlum. It makes no difference because there won't be lina. The shulchan is only mekadish the lechem on Shabbos, in which case the lina is only going to start ticking, the lina clock will only start clicking when the first Shabbos comes along. So that's when it will become Kodesh, and who cares whether it was on the Shulchan for 3 days, 6 days, whatever. If it wasn't there long enough to instigate a psul of lina, it didn't have any Kedusha. Same b'kachlum. But the problem is, why should that be true? Why don't we say, if you're telling me there's a gezeira, that people will believe that you can take something off of a Kli Sharet and it won't be Kodesh, you should have the same problem over here. If people are going to see that you can leave the lechem on the shulchan for all of that time, so then they'll say, oh, so apparently there's no problem of storing something on in a Kli Sharet and leaving it there, and it won't be posibilina, and they won't realize that it's a special din on the Shulchan Legabi the Lechem. Says the Gemara, what's the comparison? Who the heck is going to know what you did inside of the Hekel with the Lechem HaPanim? What kind of comparison is that? We were talking about, Ravina was talking about, that a guy, a regular guy, who's handling something outside where everybody sees it, he's using the oil for a mincha, and I'm telling you that people are going to think that that means that a klishar is not mikdash, and you say that's not a problem because after all, nobody seems to care if you leave the shulchan. Who knows what you left on the shulchan, for heaven's sakes? There's no, you're talking about panim achutz? You're asking a kasha from inside the heichal, the things that are done in full view of everyone? Pnim lav kulei almayadeh. Who knows what's going on inside over there? Chutz kulei almayadeh. So over there, we make a gezerah, obviously. Now, Tzan Hasan, remember that one of the things that we learned in Shkolim, with the Shkolim we're talking about, that we have these shofarot. Each one of those shofarot was used for things that are going to be brought and under different circumstances to the Mizbeach. So now we have one of those shofarot are used for motar nisachim. They go to the Kais HaMizbeach. So they are supposed to go into the shofarot that are used for the dessert, so to speak. And that means that we buy oilis that are oilis of the tzibur. And when we don't have things being brought on the Mizbeach, so we bring these things. If you have leftovers of Nesachim, you bring it to the Kaitz HaMizbeach. Now, what exactly is meant by the Moser on Nesachim? So it says Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, you know what it is? It's exactly this that we're talking about over here. It is talking about the Birutzei Midot. So if you put it above the level in which it's supposed to be Kodesh, so then anything that is too high is actually is sold, and it's used, the money is used for Kayetz HaMizbeach. So this is what we do with that which was left over. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's actually a whole different thing. There's a different Mishnah we also add in Shkolim, which is after this Mishnah, but still that's referring to that. Since it says, if a supplier agrees to a particular price that he's going to be bringing to the Beis HaMikdash silatot, and he agrees that he's going to be bringing solat this year for sa'ah per sela. And now the price goes up, and now you only get three sa'ah per sela. This guy is stuck with his original offer, and he's got to bring four sa'ah for every sela. And in the opposite case, if he agreed that he's going to give three sa'ah per sela, and now the price went down, and now you're supposed to get four sa'ah per sela, he's going to have to provide more than he agreed. He's going to have to provide for each sela four. Why is this? Because we have a klal, Yad Hegdesh Ala Elyona, which I believe that our Mr. Gavi has already written down, but if he hasn't, he better start waving his magic pen. So this was a klal that we had, Yad. The Yad of the Beis HaMikdash is always has the upper hand. So therefore, if he has a better deal, he's going to have to provide the regular deal. If he's got a worse deal, he's going to have to provide the better deal. So that is what we have, all of that extra flour that's coming in that we weren't planning for. And now this guy's going to be providing a lot of extra flour. What do we do with that extra flour? That's the Moser Nesachim. And that is what we use to buy the Kayetz HaMizbeach. Tanik Avosid Rabbi Bar Yosef and Tanik Avosid Rabbi Yochanan. Lamaisa, we have two prices that support both of these approaches. Tanik Avosid Rabbi Bar Yosef, Beirut Sebi Dotalolu. What do we do with that which went over the top? If you've got another zevach that needs these additional nesachim, so bring it before it becomes possible. If it became possible, Lina, what can you do? If it was Lano, it's too late. If there isn't another korban that we need, and we managed to get it sold before it became possible, Lina, so then makaitzim b'hem etam izbeyach. Then we use that money for the Kayetz HaMizbeach. And what do we mean by a Kayetz HaMizbeach? What is that? The Kayetz HaMahu, that are olot, where we bring the basar entirely on the Mizbeach, Lashem, and the orot of Kayat HaMizbeach are given to Kohanim. So you might have had the Havamina that maybe these are different and you have to use even the orot to buy other karbanas and bring it to the Mizbeach. You don't give it to the Kohanim. No, Kamash Malan, Kayat HaMizbeach is like anything else and the Kohanim get it. Okay, so this is a riot to procure by Yosef. But we also have a riot to Rabbi Yochanan. Tanya Gavasa Rabbi Yochanan. Hamekabel alav lesapek selatot miharba. Somebody who's a supplier and he commits to supplying it for saw persela. And now the price has gone up and it actually costs now that you get only 3 saw persela. He's got to continue to supply at the lower price and he's mesapek miharba. But in the opposite case, where he agreed to a price of 3 saw persela, and now the price went down, and amdu me'arba, now you get 4 saw persela in the market, he's got to provide the cheaper price, misapek me'arba, because of our klal, yad kodesh al elyona, and this, says the Braita, is what was meant by the motar that was put l'kayetz ha-mizbeach in the Mishnah in Shkolim. And that, of course, is the Tani Kavasa to Rabbi Yochanan, which is exactly the way that Rabbi Yochanan had it.